Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
A couple of weeks ago, we were in 1 John chapter 5, and we were talking about the things that we know in prayer. And John says more in 1 John about prayer, and I want to just bring that to our attention, help us focus our prayers. But let's start where we were last time. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him. And notice that word confidence as well, because we're going to be talking about that tonight. Things that give us confidence. He says, here's what we have confidence about. This is the confidence we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So when you and I are praying, if we know the will of God, if you sense the will of God, what's one of the best ways to pray the will of God is pray Scripture. You're praying Scripture, you're going to be praying the will of God. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests we have asked of Him. Now, earlier in John's epistle, in 1 John chapter 3, John writes this, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." When it comes to prayer, confidence is critical. You and I have to be confident when we come before the Lord that our prayers are going to make a difference. We have to be confident that God's going to show Himself powerful. I mean, listen to this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence." In other words, are you confident when you go before God, when you come before Him? Are you confident? Or are you saying, well, here goes nothing? Or are you saying, well, I hope? Or when you pray, are you confident that you're going to find grace? And what's grace? It's excessive kindness. It's preferential treatment that God's going to do for you. Maybe what He might not, you don't know what He's going to do for everybody else. You just know God is going to do something for you because you're His child. Because you're walking in relationship with Him. Because you have a believing heart regarding the things His Word says. Confidence. And when we do that, we receive mercy and grace to help us in time of need. When a person has confidence, here's one of the things that happens. The greater your confidence, the more willing you are to ask God for big things in faith, believing you've received. You know, when you have confidence, you're not afraid to swing for the fence. When you have confidence, you're not afraid to ask God to come through and believe that He will. Sometimes when, you know, when we're praying here as a group, it's interesting because you can feel at times, you can feel where people are at and you can tell when faith's rising in the room. But like when we're getting ready to pray for the preschool academy and to pray for $250,000 to fund it for this year. I remember when I said, and we need $250,000, there was like, like people ready to choke. Others were like, hey, all right, groovy, God can do that. And He did the next morning, all from one person. You know, that's amazing. Some of you, when we pray for weather, you're too busy watching the Weather Channel or your forecast, and you got more confidence in them than you do in God. Well, the weatherman said, well, that's your confidence. I mean that unkind. I'm just saying it's true. When we go to pray for those things, you struggle because you're not confident. And I'm just suggesting to you that confidence has much to do with receiving from God the things God wants to do in our life and will do. Confidence. Can I also say this? Confidence causes us not only to ask for big things, but confidence causes us to ask for little things. Some of you are not confident to ask God for things that are smaller because you think, well, why would God, I mean, does God really care about that? As if somehow there are some things that are easy, some things that are hard, and some things God doesn't care about, and He doesn't do things that are just niceties. And yet God is a God who delights to help us. And we have to remind ourselves that, you know, we're in this relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. And so if God is a Father, one of the things that we can do to learn how God would view us is to think in terms of how a good earthly father or a good earthly mother would care for a child. And just think that through a little bit. I mean, so what's important to a child, I'm telling you, is important to a godly parent. I mean, if it's important to a child, it's important to the parent. I mean, a child may have just bumped their head, and while as a parent, you're not going to call a brain surgeon about it, I mean, it never occurred to the child that that problem was not important to you. I mean, it never, when my kids were growing up, never occurred to them that their big problems, which to me were little problems, it never occurred to them that it was not a big thing to me and not important to me. So if you and I'd be willing to look after our children that way, how much more Heavenly Father? Because Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 says this, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So He is so in tune, so watching you, so aware of where you're at. He knows. He knows what's on your heart. The psalmist says, before I form the words on my lips, He knows the words I'm going to form. He sees my thoughts from afar. He knows us that well. He numbers the hairs on our head. Everybody's got between 100 to 150,000 hairs on their head. You lose about 100 a day. He's counting them all. He knows exactly where we're at in our life. With that in mind, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Now, that's interesting. When you have confidence, whatever you ask, you receive from Him. There's something about confident prayer. There's something about, and in that confidence of prayer is the idea of this bold audacity that's not afraid to come boldly before God and put it out there and say what's on your heart, say what's on your mind, and to believe that God's not only going to hear, but God's going to answer prayer. He goes on and says, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you just, because inside that passage are four essentials for confident prayer, four essentials for confident prayer. The first one is this, you keep His commandments. That if you and I are going to be confident before God, we have to walk in what we know are His commandments. For example, Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You know, if you got a bunch of junk going on in your life, if you're dishonoring the Lord, if there's sin you're not willing to deal with, if there's things that are happening in your life that you know are displeasing to the Lord, then to believe that God's going to answer your prayer, it's going to be very hard for you to have much faith. It's going to be very hard for you to have much confidence because you're not honoring the Lord with your life. Therefore, because you're not honoring Him with your life, He's not going to honor you in your requests. Listen to this. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. I mean, any parent understands, if you have a child, and even if you're not a parent, you would get this. If you have a child who's not obeying a parent, for the parent to give in to their request would only make that child more disobedient. And so the parent says no because they love their child to discipline their child. Now that's how it works with the Lord. Why would God let your sin go unchecked and just keep giving you everything you need, and you're like dishonoring him with your life. You're not loving the Lord. You're not obeying the Lord, because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if you're not keeping his commandments and you're just tolerating sin in your life, then you have to question whether you really love him. I mean, we're not talking about perfection here, but we are talking about people who live in a desire to please the Lord with their life, which means that where we see sin, we flee from sin. That we don't want to walk in sin. So, the Lord wants to help people. And Judges 10:13. Here would be an example of how God views it. You have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I'll save you no more. I mean, if you're not going to honor the Lord with your life, you could hear that from the Lord. Listen, if you don't want to honor me, then hey, have it your way. Do it your way, but you won't get my help with the things that you need. So if you and I want to have confidence before the Lord, if we want to be able to pray those bold prayers, we have to be able in our life to be able to say, you know what, to the best of my ability, and no one's perfect. So again, we're not talking perfection. People make mistakes. What I'm talking about here is habitual, willful sin where you're living in sin. So you're married, but you're involved in an emotional affair or a physical affair with somebody. You're looking at pornography, you're cheating somebody, you're continually lying about something, you know it's not true, you're stealing something from somebody, you could go down the list, but it's something that continually is something that's a part of your life, and you recognize it, but you don't want to do anything about it. If that's where you're at, it's very hard to have confidence before God. Number two, we have to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We have to believe in the name. And I think it means more than just, well, I believe in Jesus. That's not really what I think he's talking about there. When we're talking about the name of God, the name is not only of anybody's name is not only in the Bible who they are, but it's what they do. It's a name was symbolic. A name had value to it based on the meaning of the name, the significance of the name. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs says the righteous run into it and are saved. So when we say we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, what we're saying is we believe who he is and we believe what he does. And what is it that he does? Listen to this. In John's gospel, it says this. Let me see if you can give me John's gospel. All right. Well, that's not John's gospel, but give it a shot in chapter 14. There you go. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. So when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're believing this is the one who said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you believe in me, if you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 16, he says this. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And that's not just saying, and in the name of Jesus. It's saying, God, I'm going to you, and I'm asking this because I believe this is what Jesus would ask. You want to know what Jesus would ask? Just look in the Gospels and see what Jesus did. What is it that he asked the Father to do? So if you and I are going to have confidence, then we have to believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. There's a third thing. We have to love one another. So if we're going to have confidence in prayer, then it has to be right. If we're going to be right, we can't be right vertically if we're not right horizontally. So husbands, here's the way it works. And Peter says this, we won't take time to bring it up, but Peter says, you know, to treat your wives with respect that your prayers won't be hindered. So what that's saying is, if it's not right with your wife, then it's not going to go right with your requests with God. You're wasting your time. If you've hurt your wife, if you've hurt your husband, If you're not right with them, don't act like you're going to be right with God, because go make it right with them, then go back and have your prayer time. How many have had to do that before? You know, I mean, there's times I've had to. I'm like, I'm wasting my time. I'm like, I'm going to go pray. And then you get ready to start to go pray, and you're like, you know, I'm wasting my time. I got to go make it right. I wasn't nice. I hadn't had my coffee. you know what I'm saying? You got to be right with the people around you, or you're not going to be right with God. That's what this is saying. 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So if you want to receive from the Lord, you've got to be right with the people around you. There are some here tonight, and confidence is hard to come by, because part of it is confidence manufactured by us, or is it given to us from God? Both. So there's a part of me stepping out in faith, believing God for big things, understanding I can come to him for big things. There's another part where God is working in my life to fuel that faith, to lift my faith, to draw me close to him, to encourage me to ask those things. Because the Spirit working in my heart causes us, Paul talks about this in Romans 8, he talks about in Galatians chapter 4, to cry out, Abba, Father, to cry out, Daddy. To feel an endearment in my heart toward the Father and receive that same endearment from him to me. And that's the atmosphere for confidence in my praying. Is everybody with me? But if I'm not right with people around me, if I've got bitterness in my heart, if I've got anger in my heart, if you have other things in your life that are not right, then it's going to be impossible to have a strong prayer life. I'm going to have the worship team come up. The last thing is this. We have to love being in the presence of God. You know, if you're going to have a good prayer time, if you're going to have a powerful prayer time, it begins with loving being with God. Just loving being with him. So a way to evaluate that, well, we'll bring the scripture up here, look at it. It says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, that is, lives in God, dwells in God, and God in him. In other words, you're living in God because that's where you want to be. So anything that diminishes God's presence in your life, you don't want that around. Any experience that diminishes God's presence in your life, there are some things that work against your love for God. Straight up, there are just some things that do. And I don't know that it's the same for everyone at any particular moment in time, but over time, I think it's pretty much the same. You say, what do you mean by that? There are some things that when a person's starting out to walk with the Lord, don't bother them. They don't get to them. It doesn't seem to affect their walk with God because God hasn't convicted them about it yet, and they haven't really grown to a place. But as you look at the saints of God, and there is, as you're walking with the Lord, an increasing desire to remove the things from your life that displease the Lord. It's called holiness. You just set yourself apart for God. You just say, you know what, there's some things, I don't want to let things in my heart that grieve the Lord. I don't want to do things that make me feel distant from the Lord or make me feel like, and we could go through, I'm not going to give you my list, but I think everybody knows there's times when you do something and having done that, you certainly don't feel closer to God, right? In fact, you just kind of feel like, I just feel kind of like awful. You know, you say like, why? Because now people are like, well, what did you do? I mean, you can watch something on TV and you can be like, that's just trash. Or, and I'm not talking, I mean, you can watch so much of television, and honestly, we don't have cable or anything. I mean, because I just can't. I it's hard for me when I'm ever in a hotel to see so many channels and so little to watch. I mean, like, how can you have that much offering and so little that's even meaningful? But you know, so much of it's murder. So much of it's the evil deeds of people. And you know what? At some point, how much more of that can you ingest before it begins to weigh your heart down? Do you follow what I'm saying? So you find yourself watching something like that, and you're like, wow, I just feel like I need to go pray. I mean, to have that peace and that sense of fellowship and communion with the Lord. And over time, what you come to appreciate as you're walking with the Lord is you don't want to have to start over. You just want to keep going forward in the Lord. And you don't want to take those detours or have those things in your life that have a tendency to make you feel like, wow, I just got to go pray so I can feel like I'm like right back where I want to be in my walk with the Lord. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that life that lives with God, that life that desires God's presence. Hey, you're here, so I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but loving the church, loving being in His presence, not only as a church, but loving being in His presence, you know, When you get up in the morning or when you go to the bed at night or whenever it is that you have your special time with the Lord and just saying, I just love being in His presence. I just love being close to Him. You know, God enjoys being with the person who enjoys being with Him. Listen, God's a person. We're made in His image. How fun is it to be with somebody who doesn't want to be with you? Not very fun. You ever been with somebody and you're like, they don't want to be with me? I mean, you can tell it. It's not like it's a great conversation or a great time. So, you know, God isn't any different. He wants to be with people who want to be with Him. He wants to be close to people who want to be close to Him. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Love God, love His presence. So how do you and I have confidence before God? Well, we keep His commandments. We don't let sin hang around in our heart. When we sin, we deal with it so that we can be right, so that we can move forward. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe Jesus is who He says He is, and He'll do what He said He will do, and that there's power in His name, right? We love the company of believers. Listen, if you have it against somebody in this place, take care of it. Make it right. Let it go. Lay it down. Love one another. And in loving one another, you'll find God will work in your life. And then finally, just, you know, as you're walking with the Lord, as you're serving the Lord, as you're living before Him, you know, you're keeping your life right, you're believing in Jesus, you're keeping His commands, and you're enjoying the presence of the Lord because you just want to be in His presence. So with that in mind, tonight, if there's any one of those things where you say, you know, that's probably off a little bit, take care of it, and then boldly approach the throne of grace. Whatever you have need of, God is able to do. He's a good God. He delights in showing His power in this church, in your home, in your life, in your circumstances. He loves to do miracles.